Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Thorod. How you doing, Paul?
Hello.
Ah, pretty good.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Up, as you know.
I know, you're trying to shake things up. You got a haircut right before the show. You,
yep. Looking... Gonna be itching my back all day long now.
Perfect as always. Were you there for the Google event? Or...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I waited until it was over to bolt out to get my haircut. I mean, I wasn't there in person.
But were you around to watch it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I watched it. Yeah.
Okay. We have a lot to talk about that. Guys, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the show. This is a show where we discuss technology, and I like to present it as if it's two guys getting drunk at a bar and just ranting about tech. That's what it is. Two guys at a bar sitting down, and we pretty much do a show every time we get together. There's no difference. I even do a live read and everything.
Yep.
I tell people, like, randomly, I'll just go up to the table. I'm like, hey, by the way, if you want to catch us again after the show, subscribe to our Patreon campaign. And they're looking at me like, oh, I don't know who you are. This is crazy. I have a lot to talk about today with you, and I had a couple questions about this Google event because it was very lackluster, in my opinion.
Really?
I was not impressed by anything that they announced.
Wow.
I actually, down to the point that I think one of the things that they announced, which was they took a lot of time, is really stupid, and that's that fingerprint sensor.
Okay.
Okay.
Why do you think that it's stupid?
If you have a case on your phone, how are you going to use it?
Okay.
Presumably the
case would have a pass-through.
Yeah. Or has like a little opening on the back, like a little hole.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
You got to like stick your finger in there. It's not just going to sit.
Okay, that's fair. Anytime I see anything about a sensor on the back of a phone, I think that seems awkward.
Yeah, and I understand why they think that it works, but LG did the same thing with the LG G2 and the G3, where they put the volume and the power button on the back.
Yeah, and you'll notice no one bought those phones.
Awful, awful. And it was so bad that that's why they had to do the tap to unlock on the phone, because the only way to unlock it was if you pick the phone up and then hit the back button.
Right.
It was so uncomfortable and awkward to use that they did tap to unlock, and they made it like, oh, look at this cool feature that we got. But in reality, it was a fix for the awful design that they had.
Your criticism is fair. I think the way the Apple one works is nearly perfect.
Perfect,
let's say. And that, I guess on the newer Samsungs, they have a similar system. It's a smaller, button, but it works similarly. I think that's the way to go. We'll see. Like in my little write-up about this, I was like, this looks awkward to me. I'll have to test it and find out. And but now that you say that, yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Look at that. Right in the back. What did you think of the 5X? And then we'll talk about the 6P, but let's talk about the 5X first.
Yeah. So there were a couple of things about the Nexus 5, which was, 2 years ago, that I thought was a really big deal. I have one. I've always really liked this phone. When it first shipped, it was the camera wasn't really that great, but through some kind of firmware updating and a Google camera app that has appeared in the interim, that phone also now takes awesome photos. And it was, it's a 5-inch device. And so at the time, it was kind of like a big phone. And of course, with all the phablets we have today, kind of a small phone. But yeah. I always thought it was like the right size. It was kind of a nice size.
The 5.
The 5.
Yeah.
So last year, what they did was they came up with the Nexus 6. It was like a 6-inch phablet. It's a humongous phone. And it didn't sell well at all. And so I think it's very interesting this year that they downsized the 6 and they came up with another 5. And I think it's the right thing to do because I think a lot of people had held on to their Nexus 5s because the 6 was just so crappy.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that they really liked the Nexus 5 and it had some issues. The camera was one of them. The Nexus 5 and the LG G2 were identical on the inside. I mean, it was essentially the same exact product, just different branding, LG being both. And I had the LG version of it, and it was absolute crap, the camera. I mean, it was so bad. And the thing that was ridiculous is that the big selling point was how great the camera was. And had this phenomenal image stabilization where, like, it would move. It was like a little, it would be able to kind of stabilize it where it moved with you. And it did not work at all. I was blown away how awful it was. So for them to, they were pushing the camera on the 5X.
Well, on both, by the way. I didn't realize this at the time. I must have missed this, but these are, in fact, the same cameras in each device, even though the camera bump on whatever that is on the 6P looks really strange.
Is it?
But those, they are, in fact, exactly the same camera.
So why does it have that bump?
I don't know. It might be because it's an aluminum body, and maybe they needed to do it just to accommodate. Yeah, you know,
aluminum.
I don't know. Aluminium.
It's
I know.
Aluminium. Yeah,
by the way, an American said that.
Yeah, aluminium.
Aluminium. That was one of the dumber things.
Okay, so I have a theory on that. Do you want to know my theory?
Yeah, sure.
Americans identify aluminum with what you wrap your lunch in. But aluminium is different to Americans.
It sounds like a
harder metal.
That's funny.
I brought this up to somebody that's in marketing. Because we were joking about it. He goes, no. There's a whole reason why they do it. Because for Americans, we think aluminum.
It's not tin foil. It's aluminum foil.
It's aluminum foil. Yeah.
And it seems cheap.
Yeah, it seems cheap. Like aluminum sidings. Like it's aluminum, not aluminium.
Okay. All right.
Aluminium is
different metal.
They also,
in writing, and Apple did the same thing, right? They specify that it's something special. I don't remember how Google said it, but it was something like aeronautic grade or whatever. And of course, in the Apple presentation, they're like, oh, we milled our own special blah, blah, blah. It's the same aluminum that the military uses or whatever. You know, like they really do try to draw that distinction. It's not going to crumple up like the Apollo lander or something.
Yeah. So the 5X is still made by LG this year. 5.2 inch display, 1080p resolution.
Wait, is that right? Is that right? Or is it
5.2? Yeah, 5.2.
No, I mean the LG bit. I thought the...
Yeah.
Thought,
yeah, yeah. No. These. Yeah, they went back to LG. Yeah.
Okay.
It's gone back to LG to make the Nexus, the 5X. Snapdragon 808 processor, USB Type-C. Yep. So everybody now has to scramble to get new cables.
Oh, by the way, when they say USB-C, faster charging, that was the selling point, which is good because it doesn't have wireless charging.
I have fast charging on my phone. I don't have Type-C.
No, I'm just saying these phones don't have it.
Yeah, in other words,
like they really push the fast charging because it makes it sound like a good thing. But the truth is no one has these cables. This is a whole new plug, and you have to charge it this way. There's no wireless charging.
Well, it was a good run with the other USB that we were using, the micro USB.
Oh, yeah.
13 megapixel camera and a fingerprint sensor on the back. It's fine. I'm looking at this, and guys, I want to be told that I'm wrong here, okay? Like, I'm looking, please tell me that I'm wrong. I look at this phone, and I don't find something special about it. There's nothing special about this phone to me. There's nothing that stands out other than a pure Android experience. If that's exactly what you're looking for, then yes, I get it. It stands out. But there's nothing...
Let me just compare it to the Moto X, right, which also offers a pure Android experience.
Yeah.
Also does not have wireless charging, does not have USB-C, does not have a fingerprint reader or tap to wake, And so those are some detriments to the Moto and some areas where the Nexus phones kind of do step up a bit compared to that. But one of the things that the Nexus doesn't have is the sheer amount of configurability you get with the Moto X, right? You can have like a wood back, like you saw the one I have has, or a leather back, or
the one that you have. I'm going to tell you guys, I had not. Well, is the phone out?
Hmm?
Is the Moto X out? The new one?
Yeah, it should be. I think if it's not, it's coming out tomorrow. So
okay,
I think it's out now.
Okay,
it's a new gen. I mean, it's like they've had them before.
So I could talk about it because I didn't want to talk about it last week. I don't know if you were talking that you.
Oh
had
yeah.
It.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I don't. I can write.
Okay.
It. It's okay.
Yeah. Because I want.
I'm going to review it this week.
Okay. So I saw Paul last week in the city, and he had the Moto X, and in my mind, because the first generation was not. Everybody said, "Well, this isn't it's not a flagship phone. It's a really good phone. It's a higher end phone, but it's not a flagship phone." This was a phenomenal phone, the one that you have. The display was just stunning to look at. And I have a pretty decent display with mine.
Right? By the way, that's inside, though. Like, another issue I have with that phone is when you're outside, it's completely washed out.
Yeah, so
I compared it to my wife's Note. She has a Note 4, which is not the most current one, but her phone was just as washed out. But like an iPhone 6S Plus, like I have, that outside you can see very easily. It's really nice.
Yeah.
That's kind of an issue. I mean, that's interesting. That stuff to me...
That's not something that I would have considered as an issue.
I mean, You buy it in a store.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you walk outside and you're like, wait a minute. It's. No, it's
do you have the auto dimming on and off, the auto setting? Or do you have it set to something?
No, I find that to be very annoying.
Okay, so that's why you have the issue. I have that issue too. I hate the auto. And when it's off, it doesn't adjust properly. And it looks
atrocious. All right, I'm going to test that then because I don't want to smack this thing around if that's something you can fix.
Yeah. Try that.
I'll look at that. I do turn that off.
So I thought the display on my phone, I have the Samsung S6, I thought it was a great display until I saw Paul's on that Moto. And I go, holy crap. I mean, it is – it's like it's paper. You know, it's like written. It's like I can't describe it. It was so vivid. The display, it's absolutely beautiful. So if you're looking for a good, if you're looking for a great display, I mean, that's one to get, but I don't see anything special about this phone. Yeah, fine. You could buy it on subsidized for 300 and almost $400 for the 5X, we were talking about this earlier. I do think it's a little above the price range. If it was $50 cheaper.
The cheap one needs to be $299. I can't believe they're not doing that. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me.
Well, how much is the Moto X if I got it? If I went and bought it. Is it one of those that I could afford?
I think it's probably in the same. Let me just look. I'm sorry. I don't remember exactly where it starts. It starts at $399.
Okay.
But it's got to be a 32 gig device, right? I think it's 32. Oh, no. I guess it's. Nope, 16. So, no, 32 is, $449. Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah.
And I'm kind of going backwards on the whole. Having an unsubsidized phone on the market where it doesn't lock you down. Now that we're seeing these yearly plans where you could, pretty much trade your phone in every year, there's really no incentive to go and buy an unsubsidized phone. This is the incentive right here to go to with the carrier. Unless you switch carriers, and then that's fine. That's
right. Or if you can afford it and you think you're going to change phones, to a different type of phone.
Sure. I just can't.
You didn't really think when we switched to unsubsidized phones that people are going to be buying $850 phones at a whack.
No way.
This is the United States. There's nothing we can't lease here.
Yeah.
It's really funny. This entire industry just swiveled on a pivot. It's like Apple announced their thing, and then every wireless carrier in this country was like, we can beat that.
Yeah, we could do leasing.
It's really funny how fast that happened.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually, how because they're slow to adopt. Change these carriers.
Right.
We're still charging a norm and a leg for 10 gigs of data bandwidth.
They're going to get you somehow. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
So tell me what you think about the 5X. I mean, the camera looked okay, looked fine, but.
Because what I'm like, I mean, I went to the Nexus, the website, I stepped through buying it. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, I don't really need this thing. What am I doing? And I kind of canceled it. And then I went, got my haircut and everything. I came back and I was like, I should have bought it. And I went to buy it. Now you can't buy it anymore. Now it's just like, pre-order soon or something.
Yeah.
So I actually went through the buying process. Like I could have bought it earlier. It was available when I checked before and now it's not. So I don't know. My understanding of what is right for smartphones evolves over time, and like when I say something like, I think the right size of this screen, the screen on a smartphone is whatever size it is, someone will come back and say, but Paul, 6 months ago or 18 months ago or whatever it was, you said that like a 5-inch screen was perfect. And now you're saying that like 5.2 or 5.5 or whatever, yes, because things evolve, right? I still think 6 inches is way too big. That hasn't changed. And so, like the Lumia 1520 or what, any 6-inch device, this is too much. But, an iPhone 5, whatever it is, 6S Plus, 5.5-inch screen, 5.7-inch screen. I think those kinds of things, I don't think they're right for everybody, but I think this is the range.
It's what's the note? How big is it?
5.2 to 5.7 is the range.
What's the note? 5.7?
Phones are. Apple's phones are a little one step below those, size-wise. So I don't know. I'm a little nervous that is that 2 years ago, this was the perfect size.
5.2. Yeah.
Today, I wonder if this isn't a hair too small.
You see, I agree with you because I went from a 5.5-inch. I went from a 4.7.
And I don't like the button on the back. I think I don't understand why they didn't put it on the front. I mean, if I were going to sum it up, the 5X, I guess.
Okay. So
I just think that this is a device that needed to be updated. They made a mistake not having one last year. They're setting it right. Same company made it, like you said. So there's kind of a spiritual succession thing going on there. I think that's important. So good. You know, I mean, I'm probably not. I don't think I need it. You know, so I'm probably not going to bother getting one.
Although, the camera stuff. I asked a lot of people. You know, normally with an announcement like this, people get really excited. Nobody that I asked, other than the people that have to get it for work, that have to review this thing, and they're on, you know, they're insiders. They were the only ones that really cared about ordering this thing. I didn't really hear anything from anybody saying, "Wow, did you see that Nexus phone that came out?"
So, do you think part of it is because everything about the Nexus phones leaked ahead of time? Like, there wasn't a single surprise. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
I don't think so. I don't know. You know, they're all looking the same at this point. Every phone looks the same at this point to some extent. I think overall excitement has kind of fallen for new phones like it existed a couple of years ago. Because every year, you know, it was something new, something hot, something cool. The iPhone has that buzz, but it's Apple, so they have a buzz with everything that they do.
No, but come on. I mean, the iPhone had, if anything, even less new stuff to it. It was exactly the same body.
Exactly the same thing, yeah.
You know, a new color, you know, whoopee. You know, upgraded camera, great. That was overdue.
Yeah, but Paul, it's Apple.
I know, but that's not – I mean, it's not really fair. I mean, next week Microsoft's going to have an event, right? And people are going to say, oh, you know, we waited all this time for this and blue. You know, we're going to have kind of the same kind of – reaction. Like, I'm not sure what the expectations are here. You know, there's a new version of Android coming out. It's kind of a big deal. Android Pay is happening. It's a big deal. Although, by the way, it's really annoying how certain credit cards work on one but not the other. Apple Pay versus Android Pay.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. They're not. There's some weird stuff going on. There's like, you know, they released a, we'll talk about this, I guess, a little while later, but they released kind of a Surface kind of device based on Android, branded like Pixel, which is very strange.
Yeah.
They've never been successful with tablets beyond the initial Nexus 7 designs. The new one, the 10 and the 9 have, you know, went nowhere. I don't know. Like, I mean, the Chromecast is – I mean, I sort of look at the Chromecast and think, wow, you know, this is something they could have done in one device. Why do they need two?
Why do they need – I mean, they had three devices technically. They have the Nexus player. They have the Chromecast. And then audio player, which is why two devices?
I don't know. But they're cheap, so – for $70 for the price of one Roku 2 or whatever it's called, you could buy a Chromecast for your TV and a Chromecast audio for your speakers. And, you know, I'll test this. I don't know this for a fact, but I mean, the point of that Chromecast audio should be for me to do what I just did, which is to buy, like, I think these Mackie's monitors, $99, buy a $35 dongle and have what is essentially a Sonos system.
Yeah.
You know? Which for this exact setup with Sonos Play Ones would cost, I think, $600.
Oh, yeah. Elite, I mean, now, so, yeah.
So, I mean, we can kind of make fun of it, and I do. I certainly did. I did on Twitter, and I will continue to do so because, you know, that's the kind of little person that I am. But I mean, I mean, if you look at it from the other direction, like, it's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know that there's a big market for people that want to connect a dongle to a pair of speakers and get Spotify going or whatever, but maybe there is, you know?
I don't know. I mean, Paul, but the bottom line is you're not going to be able to go into a store and buy this. You can't go into an AT&T store or Verizon store to go and buy these.
Buy what? You mean the phones?
The phones. Yeah.
Right. So, but you know, Google, they presented it this way today. I mean, their devices are largely there to inspire other OEMs, just like Microsoft does with Surface or with Signature, or I guess with Lumia. I don't know. You know, do they need Nexus to be successful? I don't know. I will say some of the luster is off of it because if you think back 2 years ago when the Nexus 5, which I'm kind of romanticizing here, because by the way, when that device came out, it wasn't $350 originally. It was probably $399, right? Which at the time, again, for like an unlocked phone back then was probably a big deal. I want to say it was $399.
It eventually
hit $350. Whatever the number is, it doesn't really matter. Phones were not sold that way in the United States. And so part of the point behind Nexus was to kind of change the market. Now, Are they responsible for how the market changed? Not exactly, but they contributed to it, you know. So I don't know. You know, mission accomplished.
I want to move away a little bit from the Nexus stuff, and okay. I want to talk to you about some of the leaks for the Lumia 950, the 950 mm-hmm. XL, what's going on with that, and Continuum Dock. I saw you had it on the website. Do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know that anything new has leaked. It's more of an ongoing series of confirmations about what we've already heard. I think the proof for the 950, 950 XL is going to be what it's like in hand, because the renders we've seen so far, they're okay. And I think a lot of people are kind of freaking out because they do have that kind of plasticky look that you see in kind of the low-end Lumias, and hopefully it won't. They won't be.
I mean,
like
in
that,
some of the leaks, though, in some of the leaked images that I've seen, the renders, it looks stunning, and then in others, it looks not so great.
Yep.
So
that's what I mean. That's sort of what I mean. Like, in other words, we need to see what this thing looks like and these things look like in person before we can say. And you know, the other thing, people are sort of looking at various specs and saying, "Oh, this doesn't measure up" or whatever, and. You know, I don't know what to say to that. I know, you know, if the 20 megapixel camera that's in these devices is exactly the same one that's been in the 930, the 1520, the Icon for a couple of years now, you know what? That's a great camera. And actually, that doesn't bother me in the slightest. That's going to be a great camera.
I mean, what about the XL doesn't measure up? Because I'm looking at the specs here. It has a Snapdragon A10. It has a 20 megapixel camera, 3 gigs of RAM, a 5.7-inch display. Yep. So what's not measuring up exactly on this?
Well, it's a 1080p display in an era when a lot of Android phones have 2560 by whatever or 32 whatever by whatever, you know, really, really high resolution displays. My reply to that would be that I think we're chasing a fool's dream with screen resolutions when it comes to phones in particular, but also tablets and other devices, including laptops, because those screens kill the battery and they're not necessary. That at some point, because of the size of the pixels and how well we see, you're just not getting the benefit out of it. I would personally rather have a laptop, a tablet, a phone with a relatively low resolution screen and get an hour or two more battery life every day. And I think a lot of people would make that choice too if they were confronted by it, where they could say, look, compare them, you know, look close, you know, how does it look? And now, oh, by the way, this one gets 2 hours more battery life every day. I think people would always go with the battery life, or would more often than not. You know, the processors, people looked at them and said, oh, you know, we get these other processors are coming and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, I would just point to the thing that's been true all along, which is that Windows Phone runs much more efficiently than Android on the exact same hardware. And so if someone will compare the performance of these devices against Android devices with the same or better processors, these will probably outperform the Android devices. I think we get caught up in things, you know, for the kind of, I don't know, they're not legions, but for the legion, for lack of a better term, of fans that have been waiting for, you know, flagship devices from Microsoft, I would just say, they're announcing flagships, rejoice. You know, there's some things that are not what I would like to see personally, and there are things I would have done a little differently, but I'm just happy they're kind of there. There are the unknowns. You know, for example, Windows Hello Sign-In supports a bunch of different biometric techniques, and on phones it supports two. Actually, I guess technically three. And those are the two camera types, which is, you know, either I think it's IR camera type, facial recognition, iris scanning, or a fingerprint reader. Obviously, a fingerprint reader would be kind of ideal.
Yeah.
An iris, or rather a facial scanner would be even better. If you could just pick the thing up and it would know that it was you and it would come on, that would be so fantastic. They're not using either one of those things. They're using the iris scanner. So how does an iris scanner work? Do you actually have to hold the phone up to your face and have it scan your eyeball? You actually might. And this is the thing, I don't know. So we're going to see how that works. I can't imagine they would have chosen the weirdest and least powerful of the three choices. They must have chosen it for a reason.
So Paul,
by the way, this is an aside on Windows Hello.
Yeah.
You may have seen, I know the Lenovo Surface copy had one of these, and we've seen them on some other devices where new Windows 10 laptops and tablets are coming out this year, where the RealSense camera, which is that Windows Hello compatible camera, is on the outside of the device, not on the inside of the device, meaning that if you're using it normally, it's not facing you, thus you cannot use it for Windows Hello. So why is that? as it turns out, it's because Microsoft didn't tell the PC makers about Windows Hello until it was too late. These designs were already in the pipeline. And they added RealSense to their devices because they're Intel partners, and Intel wanted them to. And Intel was selling them on all these other things that RealSense cameras could do. And so they were thinking they would use it in some kind of an augmented reality sense where you would be interacting with stuff that would be in front of the device, or I guess technically behind the device, but in front of you, behind the device. And actually, I think a lot of Windows 10 users, what they really want it for is just to sign in. And so next year, you're going to start to see more RealSense cameras show up on the front of devices.
So obviously, next week, we're going to see some of these. Are you going to get hands-on experience with these phones next week?
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah. I'm hoping to walk out there with a phone or two, you know, whatever devices. So hopefully we'll have them on hand. I mean, I don't know, but my hope is we'll get at least some of them.
You know what's interesting about the phone? On the XL, the camera bulge on it.
Yep.
Why? Is it due to the sensor?
Yeah,
obviously
it's the size of the sensor and whatever. I mean, so if you think back to the 1020, which had that really enormous Oreo cookie looking thing, some of their more recent devices, most notably like the 830, have had like a smaller kind of circle. It's very, very much like what you see in the 950 XL. And I think it's just it's probably at least partially, I don't want to say mostly, but I'm sure it's at least partially a style thing. You know, it's like when you see like a, you know, like an 80s Trans Am, and it's got these like air venty looking things on the side. They're not air venting anything. They're just there, you know, they're not venting, you know, they're not blowing air into the tire or anything, like, which is the original point of that kind of thing or whatever. They're just, it's a style thing, you know.
I mean,
that's my theory.
It's a pretty phone.
Yeah.
It's from what I see, I don't see the crappiness that people did. I think it maybe was those initial renders that freaked people out, but
my whole problem with the freaking out that people are doing is that, you know, A, leave it to the professional. That's what I do for a living. You don't have to freak out. But also, you know, you should be happy at this point, right? We're finally getting the flagships that we've been complaining about for a year now. So let's just see what they look like, really look like. Let's touch them and feel them and, you know, let's see how much they cost. You know, let's find out how the iris scanner works. I wouldn't freak out about this stuff yet.
But, okay, so here's my thing, okay? So we got the 950 and the 950 XL. It is, in my opinion, it is exactly what Google just announced. A 5.2-inch version of it with an 808, a Qualcomm 808. Yeah. 20 megapixel. I think there's this 13, whatever. They have an 8 megapixel front facing. I mean, this has a 5.
They're probably comparable, right? Google,
they're very comparable.
Pixels, yada, yada.
Very comparable. So, yeah. USB Type-C. And then they announced a 5.7-inch model with, you know, a better processor, same storage, same everything else. So it's exact, and it kind of looks the same.
By the way, Apple just did the same thing. I mean, they went slightly smaller on both phones, 4.7 and 5.5, but they look exactly the same. They are the same internally. A couple of changes, you know, optical image stabilization on the S Plus. That's about it, really. I mean, everyone went gaga. Apple just sold 13 million phones. The world went insane. Google just announced this. They're going to sell 13 of them. Microsoft announced them, and they're going to sell 13 of them. You know, I don't know. Why? I don't know.
I say let's hang on for a little bit. Let's all relax a little bit. Let's wait a couple days. And you know what? If Paul picks this thing up and says, you know what, this is total garbage, or anybody else picking it up and says it.
I do not expect that to be my reaction. I really don't. I suspect, you know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, we'll see. I think there will be some griping over the fact that it's not, you know, one of the classic unibody type designs like we used to see. It's going to be more like the other phones, you know, with a shell and everything. There'll be some griping that, oh, how come they couldn't do a real 1020 replacement and go 40 megapixels or whatever. People, you know, iris scanning, you know, if God help us, if that's hokey in any way, you know, there'll be some complaining around that. But I think it's just so important that they just ship this thing, these things.
Yeah, it's about time. It's about time.
See how it goes. If it takes them another year to do it again, you know, we can start complaining again. But let's see. I wouldn't pre-complain. You know, let's see what it looks like before we freak out.
So it seems like our audio issues have for the time being gone away. So we're going to continue doing this, and we're also going to record our bonus show. If you're watching live, you could continue watching our bonus show.
Sure.
We'll be here. If you're not watching live and you listen to the podcast and you hung through the technical difficulties and you want access to the bonus show, guess what? You go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You get access to the bonus show right there. We were featured on the front page of Patreon last week, so thanks to the guys at Patreon for that. Paul, since we're on the phone topic here, you got your iPhone.
Yep.
And I want to know what you think of this.
I mean, it's fine. Yeah. It's very familiar. I mean, I've owned most iPhones.
And you had a 6, right?
I had a 6S. Still have a 6S Plus. A 6 Plus. And I'll get rid of the 6 Plus eventually. I bought it outright, and it's they're expensive. And obviously, I could have gotten more money for it if I'd sold it before the 6S came out and all that stuff. But I wanted to compare them. You know, I think that's kind of a big part of it. Because for me, there's a couple of things. You know, the 3D Touch is a big deal, but also the camera. The camera's always going to be a big deal for me. And the camera is the one thing with the new Nexus phones. I'm like, maybe. But, you know, so far it's been very familiar. I didn't buy like a rose gold version because I'm actually, you know, a man. And I bought the same one I already have. So they look sit next to each other. You can't even tell which one's which. I mean, they're exactly the same. In fact, I bought a different colored case just so I could tell them apart, you know.
In fact, I wrote this entire review, and then I realized at the end that
iPhone 6 Plus. I was using the wrong one the whole time. It's weird. It came pre-scratched. I don't know how that happened.
A lot of Well, everybody's experiencing that problem right now. That there was a problem. There's multiple people that have had a scratch. So
yeah, no, I don't have a scratch. No, it's fine. I'm not going to go nuts over it. I mean, I wrote a couple of articles over the weekend because you know it just came out, and I'm not going to write it. You know, Paul Thurrott's review of iPhone 6S Plus doesn't matter to anybody. I would just say for people who are in the Microsoft sphere that obviously iPhone is still the place to be for mobile apps. For Microsoft, they have more apps on iOS than they have anywhere. They often release stuff first and only on iOS, which is very interesting. It's a great phone, but the first one was fine. It's not as bendy. I will say it really does feel solid. I didn't write about that, but it's got a solid kind of almost heavy feel to it.
More than the 6?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Noticeably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And that kind of surprised me. I didn't really expect that to be the case.
Well, they said it was a tiny bit thicker. So yep. I guess that...
It's definitely also a little bit heavier. And but, you know, sometimes things are heavy and they feel dense, and sometimes things are heavy and they just feel... nice, you know, and this is not like a Mack truck. It's more like a BMW. It's like, okay. It's nice. You know, it's nicely made. There's nothing new going on aesthetically. Obviously, so it's exactly the same.
What do you think of 3D touch?
I'm starting to get used to it. I mean, I when I wrote the thing on Saturday, which was the day after the thing came out, I had a hard time with it because if you use iOS, you know, that you hold down on the screen if you want to move icons around and delete icons off the home screen. You hold down on the screen to do this kind of 3D touch thing. And those two gestures, even though they seem like they're the same, you actually kind of press the screen a little bit differently to do them. And you have to kind of get used to that.
Okay.
So that took me a couple of days. It's not like I'm going to be using this thing in 3 months, right? I'm not switching to the iPhone or anything. So I'm not even sure it's important that I figure it out.
Okay. But. So because I've read a bunch of reviews on this, and a lot of people are comparing it to the mouse. And how the mouse changed PC computing, it totally changed. Yeah. We're going to see more and more. Obviously, Samsung will probably implement this, and everybody else will start implementing this. And this is as important as the mouse was for, just clicking around.
So it's kind of a right-click thing. What I remember is back, over 20 years ago, 22, 23 years ago, I was supporting users in a computer lab at a school, and they would have a problem with Microsoft Office. This is before Windows 95 came out. It was 16-bit versions of Office ran on Windows 3.1. So before this was – and at that time, there was no right-click in Windows. People kind of forget this. But right-click started in Office. That was where that came from, at least from the Microsoft part of the world. And so you'd walk up to the computer, and they would be using Word or Excel or something, and they would say, I'm trying to do this thing to this thing, but I can't – what's the menu? And I said, did you try right-clicking it? And they said, no. And then they right-click it, and the menu, what they wanted would just come right up.
Yeah,
and I swear to God, this answered like 90% of the questions that I got. It was made me look like a genius. Just right click it, And it's sort of like the joke in IT crowd. It's like, did you turn it off and turn it on? You just say it all over and over again, and it would always be right. And it is kind of like that, except that what you get is not always exactly what you want. And so, but it's that kind of thing. Like, you can kind of press and hold on, you know, the phone icon and get recently called people and go right to that person without going into the app. Is that faster? Because, you know, if you just tapped on the thing and the app loaded, that person would probably be at the top anyway because you just call, you know, you've been calling them a lot or whatever. So, sure. You know, I'm not 100% sold on whether or not it's faster, but I think the big use for it is not so much in the shell, it's in apps. And it's not in any third-party apps yet, even though people have seen demos of things like Twitter and whatever. Like, the public doesn't have access to those yet.
Yeah. It's a new way to program, I guess, your applications. You know, it wasn't something that we've had, so it's going to take some time to do.
But you know, I don't want to go down a complete rabbit hole, but it kind of answers this user experience problem I've had with Android and iOS for years and iOS for years and years, in that it's kind of like a hunt and peck UI where you like click 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 and you kind of go in, yeah. And it, you know, getting out is really hard, you know, and especially on iOS because there's no back button. You know, how do you get back out, you know, and what it allows you to do, they call it like peek and pop or some stupid
name
like
peek,
that.
Yeah, peeking, yeah.
You know, whatever. Like peek and poke from Commodore 64 days, but except nothing like that. And it what it does is it gives you a way to get into something without leaving the thing you're already in. And so the demo they do for Mail is very effective. I don't use their Mail app, but it works and it's really smart. You know, you kind of press and hold and it peeks into the menu, into the message. You can see it without it having been marked as read, without you having gone into the message and then coming out and then marking it as unread because actually you want to deal with it later and all this stuff. I think that stuff works really well. And I think the success of this system is going to be how well it's implemented by the apps that people actually use every single day.
Yeah, it really comes down to just the implementation of it. I think it's going to become a major part of iOS. I think it's going to become a major part of app development. The fact that you could have, you know, just from one move, which you're clicking, you're going to be able to do multiple things with it. I'm just curious on how long it's going to take the developers to implement this in their, you know, software.
Well, they demonstrated some stuff on stage during the announcement a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Whenever that was, earlier in the month. None of those are available to my knowledge. Maybe some of them are. It's not like I'm hanging out in the iOS App Store every day looking for new apps, but... you know, like Twitter was the one I remember.
That's not what you're doing?
No, it's not what I do. I have been using it. I'm not even positive what the point of it is because I'm not going to review it. I guess I still have to do the camera comparison. I have been taking pictures with a couple of different phones simultaneously in different conditions. I'll do some of that in Colorado and maybe I'll write it. So I think the camera might be the next write up, but you know, honestly, what all I'm doing right now is just kind of treading water until these Lumias are announced. Hopefully I get one and I can just move to that because if I don't know what I'm going to do because I've got the Moto X, which is fine. It's Android and it's okay. The iPhone 6S Plus it's fine. You know, it's a really high quality device. It's iOS, like, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess I could go back to the 930, but I used the Moto X exclusively for about 2 weeks. I've used the iPhone 6S. It's only been a couple of days, right? Yeah. It's like Tuesday. I mean, I seriously just got this Friday.
Yeah.
Right? Is that right?
It was Friday. Right? No, it was Friday.
I mean, it seems like it's been longer than this. it's only been like 3.5 days.
It feels like it's a year and we need the new one out.
No, I mean, seriously, like it feels like a long time.
What do you think of the camera? Because I've heard some really mixed reviews, and there are people out there that are not fans of the camera, and they're actually preferring the way that the 6 Plus handled camera, the photos, and not the way that they're doing it with the new one.
Yeah, you know, I haven't downloaded any to my computer yet, so I should do that. I looking at it on the device, I would say that they look great. You know, the 6 Plus photos look great. So, you know, shocker.
Because I saw some people complaining that there was distortion on the edges, and you didn't have that on the 6 Plus. But you have it on the 6 Plus S. 6S Plus.
I haven't seen that. I mean, I took some, you might have seen on Facebook, I had some pictures of the sunset the other day. And I did a very short time lapse because I was holding the camera in my hands on top of a deck. And that, you know, at least on the device, I mean, those look beautiful. I mean, you know, the true test of these photos is, you know, like the time lapse is a very short video. It looks nice.
Yeah, I'm looking at the time lapse right now.
Yeah, I mean, actually,
yeah, I mean these are beautiful. These are beautiful photos. Yeah.
Yeah. So, looking at them, I don't mind if you show them on the thing. By the way,
let me.
doesn't matter. They're nothing special per se, but it was just kind of an opportunity to, I mean, the time lapse, honestly, the time lapse ones are kind of amazing, especially when you look at them full screen.
Let me see if I could get in here to show them. I got to log into Facebook on this machine.
Yeah, but you know, obviously what you want to do, what I want to do with the originals is you kind of zoom in and you look at them close. Like I've got some of those shots at dusk have, you know, blue sky with white clouds, wispy. There's a lot of good detail there. I mean, how do these things kind of hold up? But I, you know, there's some pixelization you can see in there.
They're beautiful.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're beautiful pictures.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if there's any.
Really nice. But I mean, it's interesting because it's not a tremendous improvement over the last one, and the complaints.
Well, I mean,
is the
last
first
one
time
was really
seen.
Good, right? I mean, it was really.
Yeah,
good.
But this is the first time that I've actually seen people say, you know, I'm actually not impressed with this one, and I actually prefer the old one. And it's been a number of reviews that have said that. So I don't know if it's, you know.
So I have two theories. I mean, one, honestly, the camera quality didn't really change between the 5S and the 6. The only difference is on a 6 Plus, you got optical image stabilization, which in my own test didn't do a thing. So compared to like an iPhone 6 versus a 6 Plus, I found the camera quality to be almost identical or basically identical. This has gotten harder to sustain over time because Android phones have improved dramatically.
In camera quality, yeah.
Yeah. The phone you have, the newer LG, the new Note, you know, these are phones that have like superior cameras. And so in the old days, whatever problems the iPhone might have had, it was pretty much, well, obviously there were Lumias too, but as far as Android iOS phones people were buying, you know, that was the one. I don't have in front of me the side-by-sides to do any comparisons. I don't know if these pictures I'm looking at are even fair to compare because they're very specific kind of pictures. Actually, is a good one I can look at. So I take a picture of the same tree all the time when I go for a walk.
Is that how you measure?
No, it's just something I do. It's kind of like a change of the seasons kind of thing. Like it's starting to go red at the top. I mean, honestly, this isn't that great. it's pixelated.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's. I mean, for me, they look. I mean, phenomenal. The photos on these new iPhones. My wife has a 6, not the 6 Plus. And it looks pretty. I mean, it looks great. But yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe the reason is that Android has come really close. You know, imagine just 14 months ago, we were talking about how Windows Phone is still the best camera out there, and the iPhone was not close to like the 1020. And now we're in a, you know, everything is kind of catching up. It's probably the 1020 is probably still a better camera, right?
Well. You know, better camera in what way? I mean, the big problem with the 1020 is the speed, and this has only gotten worse over time.
I mean, picture quality-wise.
Picture quality is very good, but I actually think the 930, 10, 1520 Icon have better pictures now because of improvements in the firmware, the camera app, and what was the other one? Can't remember what the other improvement was. I guess it was just the firmware and the camera app. But this is the performance, the general performance that you get from the newer devices actually puts them over the top compared to the 1020. The 1020 is, you know, it's kind of showing its age.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Paul. Today was a rough day.
It really was.
All right, so next
I'm
week.
Still looking at.
Oh, by the way, 9to5Mac. Here it is. 9to5Mac has a comparison here. They actually compared all the shots from the 5.
Yeah,
the
no,
5S.
I've been doing some like that as well. I just haven't.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I can eventually do that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys go there, I'm sure you can find it there. So
I don't know. These really aren't that spectacular when you blow them up. They're fine. They're just not. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these. I'm not really impressed with some of them.
The one thing I still really like on the iPhone, though, is the panoramas are really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, you blow them up and you can, you know, okay. But the stitching is seamless. Like, there's no issues there at all. And that this is not, you know, 2002 or something. Like, stitching panoramas is really easy now.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay, so here are two shots. You know what? I'm going to show this on the air. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me, I got to message myself this. This is insane the way that this works. It was a. It's been a rough day.
It really has.
Oh boy, it's been a rough day. GFQ Hotline, is that it? GFQ Hotline. Now I gotta message this to me, and then I gotta answer on this one, and take a look. Here we go. All right. So 9to5Mac has a shootout between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I got. There's a good comparison here. So here we go. You can kind of see the difference here.
Which one is which?
This is the
6S. So 6S must be on the right because it's a little more zoomed in.
Yeah.
Which is what you get by default, right? Yeah. I think. Or maybe I'm getting it backwards. Actually, I guess it would be a little zoomed out, right? Because it takes in more of the scene.
Yeah. Let me see which one it is.
But the S must be on the left.
I believe, the S is on the left.
I will learn eventually to think and then talk.
The S is on the left. Yeah, because it's a little darker. Yep. The S is always darker.
You can see more of the scene because it has higher, megapixel. It's taking in more of the scene, if you will.
So that's a comparison right there. It's interesting.
I mean, those are not great photos.
No.
The night pictures. I mean, low light continues to be an issue. That's okay.
For everybody.
These are tough, though. You know, you get a shot like that where you're kind of looking out at a cityscape at night and the lights are on and everything. You're probably trying to balance it on something, get that exactly right. those are hard on a lot of cameras.
The commentary on the website right now, the guy who wrote the article wrote, maybe we'll get there by the iPhone XS.
Jeez. Do we really have that much time?
That's what he wrote. He goes, maybe we'll get there by the iPhone XS. That's a great article, whoever wrote that. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Let's summarize next week's plan.
Oh, jeez.
Regardless of
next
where
week,
we shoot.
Got it. So you're making me think one trip in advance. This is not how my brain works.
Okay.
Next week, I'm going to go, and a bunch of us are going to New York for a Microsoft hardware event, which is on Tuesday the 6th.
On Tuesday the 6th.
I don't remember the exact time frame, but let's say late in the morning until early in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then we're going to Rattle and Hum to have a meetup.
Yes. I will have information about the meetup posted on the website.
Yeah, we really got to... Yeah, Mary Jo has got something about this somewhere.
Okay.
On Wednesday, I have a separate event in the morning that goes from, I guess, 10 to 1.
Okay.
And then at 2 o'clock, we have to do Windows Weekly. Mary Jo's checking to see whether we can do it at the Microsoft, at a Microsoft space.
Okay.
If not, we may need to... avail ourselves of a Zarian solution.
I can fix anything except for my own system here. No, we can figure it out. I mean, I have a couple options.
I will be in touch. We'll know eventually. If only my computer worked.
The easiest solution would be to do it in the studio, but if we need to stay in Manhattan, we can figure that out too.
Okay.
I just need to know in a couple days.
Yeah, no, we were hoping to have this solved by now.
Okay.
This has been an ongoing thing.
Yeah, so, it's easy for us because we'll just call in, Skype in, and then we just do the switching here. Or we could have you both on, the couch because, we got, a double shot here, so we could do something like that. Or I could, zoom out and do, a long shot if they don't want to do that. But either way, we could figure it out. All right, guys, that's it for this week. If you're watching live, stay tuned. What the Talk is coming up. If you're listening to the podcast, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. And get it there. We'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.